You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Dale A. Meyer. It's titled, Children, a Responsibility. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Okay, parents, listen up. All of you, listen up. Let's check and see what we're leaving to our children. If you're wise, you've already made legal provisions about your estate. When you die, your children will talk, or maybe argue, about the things you've left them. They'll also talk about the things you've left them that cannot be conveyed by a will. When you're gone, they'll talk about your personality, your habits, the little things about you, and the big things about you. They'll also talk about your inner strength, or lack thereof. So, listen up. What are you leaving to your children? Are you leaving your house or your car? I wonder what they'll do with that. Are you leaving them the family heirlooms? Will they treasure them as you do? Are you leaving them money? Will they know how to handle money? Are you leaving them a good reputation in your community? Will they preserve that good name? Now, none of the things I've mentioned should be despised. But it's not enough that your will should be opened and the children say, "Look, Mom or Dad left me the car, the house, the money, or whatever." You have a responsibility to leave them more. Psychic content was what my friend in Washington, Chaplain Jim Shaw, called it. He said that we need psychic content. Psychic here doesn't refer to palm readers, horoscopes, and such practices that the Bible says you should avoid. Psychic comes from the Greek word psyche, which means soul. Psychic content is content for the soul, the inner strength that you either have or don't have, the inner strength that cannot be conveyed by a will, but can be taught by you to your children. Are you bequeathing to your children? Is our older generation giving to the younger generation spiritual substance for their inner life for the years ahead? The years when our children are facing life on their own. To do that is your responsibility. I think it's baloney when people say, "I'm letting my kids grow up and form their own opinions about religion." These children are not living in artificial bubbles or some isolated biosphere in Arizona. Their minds are being influenced by what other people say and by what the media is teaching. If you say, "I'm going to let my kids grow up and form their own opinions," then you're really saying, "I'm going to step aside and let my kids believe anything." I'd like to think that you're not that irresponsible. Besides, even if your children could grow up in some sort of biosphere where they were influenced by no one or by no media, they're still born with sinful hearts. In theology, we say that they're born with original sin. This is the sinfulness we all inherit from our parents. Every child is born with evil inclinations, and every child is unable to have a true fear of God and true faith in God. You leave your kids to form their own religious opinions, and they'll get it wrong. Because by nature, sinners, young and old alike, always get it wrong. How irresponsible it is to think that we parents and adults do not have a responsibility to give our children, I'll use those words, psychic content. I want to think that most parents would like to be responsible. Last May, I mentioned something that bears repeating. Some parents in San Rafael, California, asked the Christian preschool teacher to teach their children right from wrong. because they, the parents, didn't know the difference. My compliments to those parents who were courageous enough to admit that they didn't know right from wrong and who wanted their children to have that knowledge. Those parents were showing responsibility. Back in the days of the Bible, there was a young man named Timothy. The great Apostle Paul had become a dear and an older friend to Timothy. Even more, Paul worked with Timothy. In their own ways, they were both pastors, men broadcasting the good news that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for all of us who are born with evil inclinations and without true faith in God. Now, this Apostle Paul wrote a letter to this Timothy. We call the letter 1 Timothy, and you can find 1 Timothy near the end of the New Testament. Paul talked about Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. These two women were responsible. They shared psychic content with Timothy. Paul calls it faith. Listen. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, like my fathers did, when I remember you in my prayers, as I never fail to do day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I might be filled with happiness. I recall how sincere your faith was, just as it lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice before you, so I am convinced it is also in you. What faith did Lois and Eunice pass on to Timothy? What faith are you responsible to pass on to your children? That's something that you have to know for yourself. However, I can tell you what I believe. I can tell you what Christians like Paul and Timothy believed and what Christians still believe. I can tell you what the Bible teaches. We believe in a God who is triune. That means three in one. Three separate persons in one undivided God. Sound difficult to understand? It cannot be understood. But this is the way God has revealed himself to us in the Bible. Besides, would you want a God so small, so easy, that you could understand him? Wouldn't be much of a God, would he? The three persons in the triune God are called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I talked about the Father last week. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The Apostles' Creed also talks about the Son, the second person of God. The Creed says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Now, what does all that mean? Religious people are experts at throwing around religious jargon, but what does it mean? In simple words, what are we to teach our children? God the Father is maker of all things. Mankind, however, has sinned. We've alienated God, which is big-time trouble, bigger than you and I can imagine. If God wouldn't intervene on your behalf, you'd find out sooner or later how terrible the consequences are for you because of your sin. But the good news is God did intervene. He was determined to save us, and so he sent his one and only Son. This Son, the second person of the Trinity, was a spirit. That is, he had no body. So God caused him to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That means that in addition to being God, the Son is also a true human being, like you and me in every way, except that he has no sin. This is why Jesus Christ is so great. This is why your children need to know about him. He is God, so he's really able to help you in your needs. He's also a true human being, so he knows what your life is like. He's walked in your shoes. Christians teach their children that this Jesus Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He did that so that your sins could be forgiven, and you could have unending life and salvation. Rather than punish you, God punished His own Son at the cross so that you could live a life of faith and hope and love. Jesus, the creed continues, descended into hell. He did that to proclaim that He had conquered sin and death and Satan. He did not descend into hell to suffer, for He had done that on the cross. Rather, His descent was a proclamation to the unseen realm that God's intervention on our behalf had succeeded. And then it says, the third day He was raised again from the dead and ascended into heaven. Christ was restored to life, and then was exalted to the honor and glory and power that belongs to Him as God and as Redeemer of our sinful humanity. Jesus Christ is a Lord who is alive, and the King who reigns over all kings, and the Lord over all lords. Talk about psychic content. Talk about a faith that will help your children long after you're gone, when your children know that they have a living Savior, when they know that their sins have been completely forgiven, when they know that Jesus is not dead, but He is alive and is able to help them in their needs, when they know that He will visibly return on the last day, as the Creed says, to judge the living and the dead. When they have learned from you this content for their souls, you'll be bequeathing to your children something far more precious than the house, the money, even the good name that you leave them. You'll be leaving them the one thing needful for this life and for the life to come. So I beg you, I, a father who am concerned and pray for the eternal salvation of my own family, I beg you to accept the responsibility of knowing and passing on this faith to your children. God Himself gives this saving faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. I'll talk about the Spirit more in an upcoming broadcast. It doesn't matter who you are, rich or poor, homeless or owning a home, good name or bad reputation, with much to leave your children or nothing, with children or without. It doesn't matter who you are. The great God wants you to know Him, and He wants you to call Jesus Christ the Lord, as we do in the Creed. As Paul told his dear Timothy, God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Ask the Spirit of God to guide you into the Bible so that you'll learn the fantastic inner strength that comes from the gospel of Jesus. That's the best way for you to fulfill your responsibility to your children. Paul wrote to Timothy that Eunice and Lois had lived the Christian faith. This great story of Father, Son, and Spirit made them who they were, and so their son and grandson received that one thing needful. By the example of older people and by God's Spirit, Timothy knew the gospel. Let this Christian faith live in you, and it will show to the younger generation. You can't confine this great gospel of God when it truly resides in your heart. To teach your children what is right, to give them psychic content, come to God with your sins and problems, and then hear the good news of His help and hope in Jesus. Some weeks ago, I came across a poem in a book of illustrations compiled by David Burgess. As I read this poem, pay attention to the distinction between the grown-up sheep and the little baby lamb. "'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable Jesus told, a grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought, and back in the flock, safe in the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd bought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger. If they go wrong, they may lead the lambs astray. When the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. And so with the sheep we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the lambs are lost, what a terrible cost some sheep will have to pay. Do you want your children to have psychic content? Do you want to leave them the greatest bequest of all? Then come, join me, and confess, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.